sound of a popular American motorcycle. It's the sound of freedom, the open road, really good times. And this is what it sounds like with a drunk guy on it. How do you like the sound of that? Cops are cracking down on drunk motorcycle riders. If you ride drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested. Drunk riding. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Now is the perfect time to celebrate your love. At the Zales Labor Day event. Now through Monday, take an extra 10% off select regular and sale items store-wide. And take advantage of a special offer on a very special item. A beautiful sapphire and diamond bracelet. Available in limited quantities. Just $99 for a limited time. It's the perfect time to find the perfect piece of jewelry. An extra 10% off store-wide at the Zales Labor Day event. Now through Monday at Zales and Zales.com. America's diamond store since 1924.
Well, now more on the rally on Wall Street and news on the economy. Fox's Brenda Butner is here live with the numbers.
That's right, Dave. Well, the economy is a lot better than you're hearing at the Democratic convention, and Wall Street sure likes that. The Dow up 90 points in the first half hour of trading. Yes, a better than expected reading on the U.S. economy shows growth jumped at an annual rate of 3.3% for the last quarter, higher than initial estimates and than expectations. Jobless claims fell for the third straight week, too, and an upscale retailer is glittering. Tiffany selling lots of those little blue boxes last quarter, nearly doubling profit. The big earnings report, Dell after the bell, expected to be strong as well. Back to you.
Well, Brenda, Toyota's not having as much good news to report, dropping its global sales target for next year from over 10 million to 9.7 million vehicles. The automaker blaming a combination of rising costs, a slowing U.S. market, and soaring gas prices. More older Americans having more trouble with their money.
The number of bankruptcy filings soaring for seniors. The group, the Consumer Bankruptcy Project, finding people 65 and older were twice as likely to file for bankruptcy between 1991 and 2007. And for people 75 and older, the number more than quadrupled. One of the study's authors saying seniors are hit with a 1-2 punch. They have to keep working and they face medical problems. And the two are connected. And many seniors retire but are still paying off mortgages or are in debt. Lisa Lacerra, Fox News Radio.
Well, the Olympics are over, but in Beijing, the games are about to begin again. China's premier lighting a new flame for the Paralympics, setting the stage for a 9-day torch relay that is going to continue all the way before the events start for the Paralympics for athletes with disabilities. The GOES Games start September the 6th. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
You're listening to 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com, the official stations of New Rock City, the place where you can enjoy a wholesome family entertainment experience.
This isn't silence. It's nothing. Every year, a million families lose their homes to foreclosure because they do nothing. If you've fallen behind on your mortgage, do something. Call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council, and this station.
Here's the updated weather forecast for Westchester County and Rosetta. We're starting off with some patchy cloud cover. Generally, it's going to be a partly sunny Thursday on this 28th day of August. Expect our high temperatures in the upper 70s. A northeast breeze right off the sound will keep temperatures a little bit on the cooler side today. And it's going to be mostly cloudy tonight, nighttime lows in the upper 50s. And our weather on Friday is calling for mostly cloudy conditions. There'll be some sunny times. And again, east winds, temperatures ranging into the mid-70s. At night, there's a chance of some showers. Overnight lows in the lower 60s. And Saturday, some much-needed shower or thunderstorm action is possible. Temperatures into the upper 70s. Saturday night, still some thunderstorms, but then clearing. Overnight lows in the mid-60s. It'll be sunny weather for Sunday, probably through Wednesday of next week, including the holiday Monday. Temperatures each day will range between about 80 and 85 degrees. Nighttime lows in the 60s. Commencing Sunday, and again, lasting into the middle of next week. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX and WVIP, the Whitney Radio Network.
The latest forecast from the 1460 WVOX Weather Center. Brought to you by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center. Right for New York.
At Entergy, meeting our region's need for reliable, affordable, and clean electricity is an everyday success story. That's because our Indian Point Energy Center supplies up to 38% of the region's power needs. It also produces some of the least expensive power generated in the region. And most importantly, it does not produce greenhouse gas emissions. That's right, zero greenhouse gases. This plays a key role in helping this area improve its air quality. So it should come as no surprise that a growing number of environmentalists, including Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, say nuclear power is a vital tool in the fight against global warming. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.safesecurevital.com. Because the more you know, the more you realize that Indian Point's clean, reliable, and affordable energy is a big part of the climate change solution.
1460 WVOX.
Whitney Media 1460 WVOX presents Environmentally Sound with environmental activist Bob Lebensold. Join Bob and his guests as they talk about protecting our most precious resource, the environment. Now, here's Bob Lebensold.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for this series on the natural world, education, and culture. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. Today, an inventor. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, August 28th, 2008, the 70th day of summer. We have lost 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 35 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:18 this morning. It will set at 7:33 this evening. We will have 13 hours and 15 minutes of daylight today. Moon rose at 3:33 this morning, and it will set at 6:26 this evening. We are 2 days before the new moon phase, so not much to see up in the night sky just now. The next full moon will be on the Ides of September, that is September 15th. Next high tides in New Rochelle, it is full right now. It was officially full 9 minutes and 27 seconds ago at 10 a.m., so it is completely full at this moment. In Yonkers at 8:18 p.m., Dobbs Ferry, 8:46 p.m. Okay, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives in Iraq. May they live on in all of our hearts. Most recent report of American deaths in the Middle East, 4,148, and tens of thousands more with grave physical and or mental injuries. Our casualties that we honor this week, Sergeant First Class George Stanciel, age 40, from Greenwood, Mississippi. He died of a mortar attack on August 19th. Lance Corporal, Marine Lance Corporal Travis M. Stottlemyre, age 20, from the Marines, as I said. He's from Hatfield, Pennsylvania. He died in a non-hostile incident in Bahrain on August 17th, and I still have no one has called me to tell me what they mean in a combat zone by a non-hostile incident. Do they overdrink? Do they die in car crashes? Do they get hit by darts while they're shooting darts in a pub? What are non-hostile incidents in a war zone? Private Janelle F. King, age 23, from the 115th Combat Support Hospital. She's from Merced, California. She died in Baghdad, which on August 14th, the date of our last program. Private First Class Daniel A. C. McGuire, age 19, but from the Marines, from Mashpee, Massachusetts. He was in combat support. He also died on August 14th, the date of our last program. Sergeant Michael H. Fershke, Jr., age 22, of the Marines, Maryville, Tennessee. He died of a roadside bomb explosion in Baghdad on August 13th. And Corporal James M. Hale, age 23, he was with the military police from Naperville, Illinois, also died in a roadside bomb for Baghdad on August 13th. I'm guessing it was the same incident. Can't be sure of that. And finally, Sergeant Kenneth B. Gibson, age 25, from Christiansburg, Virginia, died of a roadside bomb in Tarmia, Iraq, on August 10th. Two of these American Armed Services members were killed on the date of our last program. Two others were killed since then. How many more American servicemen and women alive today will be gone when next we meet? Each life is a treasure and a tragic loss to each of us. May these American servicemen and one woman live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the very near future because there are no more deaths to report. Now, a personal note. A friend of ours of long standing, Virginia Schufelt, age 65, died as the result of 40 years with multiple sclerosis. She was a long-term resident of New Rochelle. She lived here for 35 years, an athlete in her youth, a skier. She never let her disease and its progression kill her spirit. She was a good friend, a cook, a host. She was co-founder of Back to School Clothes for Kids. She was born in Staten Island. She died Monday at the age of 65. And we will honor her memory, and we will miss her. Well, this would ordinarily be the Culture Corner, but I haven't seen anything lately. I will be seeing things shortly, and of course, I will review them for you. Let me just get in a word for the Learning Shop of Harrison, New York. And they are our sponsors. The Learning Shop is a full-service tutoring company which provides homebound services for upwards of 20 Westchester County school districts, including Bronxville, Rye, Edgemont, Chappaqua, and New Rochelle. Also provide private tutoring in all academic areas and for any number of standardized tests, GEDs, SATs, whatever. They've been running an after-school resource room program for over 7 years. They have had numerous successes with college-bound students as well as remedial instruction. You may contact them at 914-835-1070. That's the Learning Shop of Harrison, New York, 914-835-1070. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Christiansburg, Virginia, Naperville, Illinois, Maryville, Tennessee, or Mashpee, Massachusetts, you have logged on to www.wvox.com and you are listening live. My first guest today is Dr. Warren Smith of Boulder City, Nevada, where he practices family medicine. But more than that, Dr. Smith is the inventor of the Biffy. What is the Biffy? Well, it's a bidet which is installed in your home toilet. It pays for itself in paper savings alone, but that is just part of the story. Joining us from Boulder City, Nevada, welcome Dr. Warren Smith.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you on your boat, doctor?
No, I'm not. I have to work today. Thank you.
How is the weather there? You're about 7:14 in the morning, aren't you?
We are. It's 7:14, and I think it's in the middle 80s at the moment.
Well, we're not quite that hot, but we also have a balmy, lovely summer day. If it doesn't get any hotter or wetter, it's going to be a good one.
Well, good.
But it does get real hot out there in Nevada, does it not?
It does. Most summers we reach 118, 120 several times a year, but this year it's been running in the lower teens, like 112, 110.
Well, that's most very cool for you guys.
Yeah.
Last time I was out there on business, whenever I went to a house, the first thing in the door, can I get you something to drink? It's unique. I've never experienced that anyplace else, but out there in Las Vegas, the first thing they'd say, hello, would you like something to drink? And they'd have all kinds of cold, icy things in the refrigerator.
I think pretty much all of us do that.
I guess so. It's a hospitality that, in my experience, is unique to Nevada, although that my experience is limited, of course. Now, let me just say, before we start talking about the Biffy, that this may sound like a promotion, almost like an infomercial, because I'm so enthusiastic about your product, but I must tell the audience that actually the product we're about to discuss, this Biffy, I acquired one, I've used it, and I'm very enthusiastic about it. This is not a paid spot in any way. This is a legitimate interview with the inventor of the Biffy. So just let that be known, okay? I know Mr. Whipple, the Charmin guy, will not like this product, nor will Procter & Gamble, because it will save you money on paper, and it will save, it's certainly environmentally sound for that reason. Okay, so now that we've done that, Dr. Smith, would you like to describe the Biffy for us, please?
The Biffy is a device that fits on the edge of any existing toilet, and it has a spray wand. We call it a magic wand because of how good it makes you feel, but it has a spray wand on the side attached to it with a handle that allows you to control the spray tip, and the entire unit is supplied by a small water line which goes to the wall near the back of the toilet, and in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes can be adapted into the water supply there so that it pulls fresh water from the wall. And when you want to use it, you push back on the handle and the spray wand swings out and washes off your bottom. And when you're done, you let go of the handle and it snaps back and shuts off and waits for the next time you need it.
Now, it does work like that, and as I said, I'm enthusiastic about it. I didn't really tackle the installation myself. I thought that was a little bit more sophisticated than I wanted to get into, and I'm not spastic when it comes to home repairs, but I asked the handyman to do it for me. So you may be exaggerating slightly when you say it's 2 minutes. I think it would be intimidating to, let's say, a woman who doesn't get into mechanical stuff, or a guy who's maybe a white-collar guy who is not that handy with that. But, of course, that does not detract from it. That's just a minor little correction.
Okay.
If I can get away with that. Okay. So,
sure. We actually tell women that it's so easy to install that even a man can do.
Well, I wasn't scared of it, but I said, you know what? I'd have to start figuring out how everything goes and all that. And I mean, anybody who's put together anything else that they get from IKEA or any of the places that you buy something that you put together, if you're good with those things, you can get this into.
Sure.
What I especially do like about it is this uses no independent power whatsoever. It just uses the water pressure. And if you buy the ambient water heater, which is also a very sophisticated device, what it does is it collects water, and then in between uses, that the air, the room temperature just warms it up. There is no power, no electricity, no nothing. It's just completely self-maintaining, and I love that about it. Now, when you invented this, doctor, since you are a practicing physician, you had patients, and in fact, was this, you told me about a fellow who had no arms below the elbows. Would you like to tell us that little anecdote?
Yes, I had a patient, a young man who was at the time about 19, and he was born without arms below the elbows due to a drug exposure that his mother had.
Thalidomide, and, perhaps?
Pardon?
Thalidomide?
Yes, it was thalidomide, uh-huh, yes, and okay. He had phycomelia. Uh-huh. And he had spent his entire life having to ask somebody to come and clean him after using the toilet. And that goes right by most of us. We don't stop and think about it. But if you do stop and think about it, it's a stunning thing that for 19 years he never had the personal privacy and dignity that we take for granted. So I wanted to design something that could be used by a person with no dexterity, in fact, not even hands, like him. So we put the little wand down very crudely in the garage on the first unit or two that I built by hand, and we put the little wand down on the right side of the toilet, and he could bend over with his elbow and push back on the handle, and when it swung out, it would turn on automatically and clean him. So that was the kind of the cause.
So you invented it with him in mind, but then I guess you realized, hey, this has got to be good for a whole much wider population. Did you get that kind of light bulb lighten up for you?
That's exactly what happened, because I had a number of people through the years. I do sort of subspecialize in proctology with my practice, and I've had a number of people through the years who had fissures and severe hemorrhoids and other problems that also benefited from using water, and not, more specifically, not using paper to rub themselves, at least. And so began making more of those for patients. Eventually, it turned out that family members and friends of patients were asking for them, and they didn't have any particular disability. So we moved ahead, had molds made, and now run a factory and sell thousands and thousands of these every year.
Well, would you say that the constant abrasion with paper on a sensitive area actually can cause hemorrhoids? Might this actually prevent them where they might otherwise occur?
Sure. If you rub paper over and over again on dry paper on any mucosal surface of your body, it's going to become irritated. And hemorrhoids are just an inflammation or irritation. They're big blood vessels that swell up in response to that irritation. So when you eliminate the irritation, then the swelling subsides and the vessels shrink back down and the hemorrhoids get better.
Now, you know, I have to just say that disclaimer again, because somebody just tuning in might hear this and say, oh, there's an infomercial on. There's a doctor on, and there's somebody interviewing the doctor. Well, I just have to say, this is our regular Environmentally Sound program, and I came across this product while reading environmental newsletters and environmental press releases, and it caught my attention, and I thought I would try it. So I acquired one, tried it, and I actually love it. I use it constantly. I've virtually eliminated the use of toilet paper. I share that with all of you listeners. There may be more than you want to know, but I virtually eliminated it. And in fact, while this may sound odd to you, and it even sounds odd to say it, I can walk away from the bathroom after taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of and not even wash my hands because there's nothing but clean water involved. Okay.
That's absolutely true.
I just had to say that. Now, what is the average cost of toilet paper for a family in a year, Doctor?
A family of four, according to the paper council in this this country, it uses about $160 to $200 worth of toilet paper
in a year. So that's a family of four. So if it's a family of two, then it would be half that. And how much does the Biffy cost?
And the Biffy's $99.
And the
two people would pay for that every year.
Okay, and the ambient water heater, if one should use that?
That's $60.
That's about $60. So within 2 years, clearly, it's going to amortize its value. Now, the heater, what it does, as I mentioned before, it takes the cold water from the pipes, and it just warms it to room temperature. It uses no power. It's basically just a very clean, nicely engineered, sophisticated tank, which I love. Now, there is a downside of this, Doctor. It has spoiled me for public restrooms and even friends' houses. What do you tell me about that? What can I do? Like, I can't carry it with me.
Well, there isn't really a great solution at this time. We sell a small battery-powered device called the Biffy Squirt that some people take with them. But it isn't nearly as effective as a Biffy, and unfortunately, because the Biffy has a great deal of water spray. It's got the power of a shower, literally, to wash your bottom in, 6 or 8 seconds. And the squirt would take 10 or 15 seconds and has to be filled at the sink. So I'm proud when people say that they are spoiled by the Biffy and they don't even want to travel because they don't want to get that far from their own toilet. And there really isn't a perfect...
So I'm sure the airlines don't like you very much now either. That, where are you going this year? I'm staying home with my Biffy.
I'm not leaving.
You mentioned also social hygiene. What do you mean by social hygiene?
Well, socially, the use of toilet paper and the toilet, in fact, itself, have all been put in the closet. It's the little place nobody ever talks about, and one of those reasons is because it is not a very hygienic process, but the Biffy changes that. It makes it a very clean thing to do, and that's one reason you and I are, I think, comfortable talking about it on the air and laughing about it, because it is totally hygienic. And by that I mean not just the fact that your hands never touch anything, not the toilet or anything, so your hands are perfectly clean, but your bottom is perfectly clean. And early on in the product, we did a laboratory study where we compared the bacterial counts on people's bottoms after the use of toilet paper versus the use of a Biffy, and bacterial counts were reduced about 99%. So it actually turns a person's bottom into one of the cleanest places in the house. Socially, that has great impact in our society. People dress pretty casually these days, and they may go to the beach with almost nothing on in case you haven't noticed. And it's nice to be clean, and if you're going to be close, you want to be clean.
And as you say, dogs won't follow you down the street
sniffing after you. So.
Well, you know, we're a little embarrassed discussing these things, and so we laugh about it, and it's a little nervous, but... Actually, this product is really wonderful, and I just have to repeat to anybody that I personally recommend this, and this is not a paid testimonial. This is just my real experience with it. It's a wonderful thing. Let's just get some contact information. First of all, I intend to put it on my website, which is www.environmentallysound.org. I'll put the information on there, so anybody who wants to find it there can, and there'll be all kinds of ways to order one. But Dr. Smith, this is Warren Smith we're speaking with. Dr. Smith, how shall they order one in the meantime? Is there a phone number? Is there a website? Both?
We have both phone numbers and a website, and they're easy to remember. The website is biffy.com.
Okay, biffy.com. Okay.
Yeah, biffy.com. Mm-hmm. And the phone number is 1-877-4-BIFFY.
For a Biffy.
Yes.
Great, great. Okay, let's talk. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left. Let's talk about urinary tract and bladder infection in women. This is also it's healthy as well as being pleasant. It's also has health benefits. Tell us about that.
Well, and it's no surprise, I think, that the in most people who don't have a bithy or other means of cleaning themselves, that the groin or perineum, as we call it, is the most contaminated area of the body. And whenever there's contact between people, sexual contact, that's drastically amplified, and those bacteria are spread. So the bithy, since it reduces bacterial counts to virtually zero, eliminates those surface bacteria. And after intercourse, if a lady uses the bithy, why then those bacteria can't get into her bladder.
Interesting.
And if she uses it before and after, then for many of our patients, that virtually completely eliminates urinary tract infections.
So it's really quite a healthy means of cleaning yourself. The perineum, if I'm correct, is the area between the anus and the vagina, if I may?
It is,
it's
yes.
That little... this little separating partition, if you will. Okay, yeah. And of course, as you can understand, you do not want to get unwanted bacteria into sensitive places because they can fester and cause you big problems, yeast infections and so on. Now I'm speaking as if I'm the doctor. Is that right, yeast infections as and bacterial infections or just bacterial or what?
Either one, sure.
Either one, okay. It also, you've said something about it being a constipation aid, and I hate to keep getting into all of these sensitive subjects, but people are listening, and those who haven't already turned us off are interested in it. How does it help in constipation, doctor?
Well, constipation plagues millions and millions of people, as we all know. Probably everybody's had it at one time or another, and the gentlest thing you can do for constipation is apply soft rectal stimulation. And so... with the bithy, that since the shower effect of it is powerful enough, you can simply aim it at the rectal area, and if the user relaxes for 5 to 10 seconds, then it will provide a low enema and stimulate bowels again. So many people use it to keep their bowels working well.
Excellent. Okay.
And the bithy cleans itself before and after every use, so it's always clean.
Dr. Smith, we'll be back with you in just a second after this break. Please hold on.
This is the flagship station of Whitney Media, 1460 WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com. Now, the latest update from Fox News Radio.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London, making history tonight in Mile High Stadium.
Sheryl Crow will be at Invesco Field, and so will Stevie Wonder. The headliners at Barack Obama's acceptance speech, the hottest free ticket in the Mile High City.
Fox Radio's Todd Starnes in Denver, where Obama gives his acceptance speech as the first African-American nominee on a major party ticket.
Within 48 hours, Democratic organizers had 88,000 requests for tickets. As many as 70,000 people will be in the House.
Last night, Bill Clinton tried to squash skepticism.
The Republicans said I was too young and too inexperienced to be commander-in-chief. Sound familiar?
But the skepticism not going away.
A few months ago, you had Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and Joe Biden all saying that Barack Obama wasn't ready to be president.
Minnesota Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty thought to be on McCain's VP shortlist. We should know tomorrow. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm a mother. It's my nature to protect my daughter. So when she told me she wanted to join the Guard, my gut reaction was to worry for her safety.
But I've always trusted my son and supported his decisions. So as hard as it was to imagine my son being a soldier, it was harder to imagine his future without the Guard.
The Guard will give her money for college.
Real-world job skills.
And I'm proud of him.
Your son or daughter can serve your community in the National Guard. Call 1-800-GO-GUARD and ask about the job skills they'll gain.
Sponsored by the New York National Guard, aired by the New York State Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Bill O'Shaughnessy, and it's Bolfamonte season, as we call it here in Westchester. For years and years around here, Mario Bolfamonte and his sons, Stephen, Anthony, and Benny, have been the royalty of the landscaping and outdoor maintenance world, and I don't exaggerate a bit. Their marvelous new headquarters near the New Rochelle Humane Society off Fifth Avenue and off Potter is not the easiest place in the world to find, I can tell you, but it's the place individual homeowners go on their own for advice on everything that grows. And it's also the place professional landscapers take their clients to select plantings. The Mario Bolfamonte and Sons Garden Center is a Westchester treasure, and it's the perfect time right now for a visit with your landscaper or on your own. Call 914-636-4428 and ask for Anthony, Stephen, Benny, or the great Mario Bolfamonte himself for directions. I'm reminded the place is actually a few steps from the new Gundelach's power equipment location, and it's only a few blocks from the radio station where I'm talking to you from right now. It's Mario Bolfamonte time again in the land, I tell you.
You know, many of us are increasing the value in our homes by doing home improvement. And I want to tell you about an important discovery we've made when it comes to home improvement here in Westchester County. His name is Armando Magana. Now, Armando and his crew of skilled workers are our recommendation when it comes to painting, carpentry, or really any home improvement project that you have either inside or outside of your home. You see, Armando is an expert in these projects, both big and small, that require the skill of a professional. So save your precious weekend or weekday time and let Armando fix up the look of your home at a price that's fair and reasonable. You can call Armando Magana at 914-224-6588 and you'll see why Westchester homeowners are raving about this personable home improvement expert. Armando Magana in Westchester, the Bronx, Queens, and Manhattan. Armando will come to you for a fast, free estimate. No job too big, too small. Armando Magana, 914-224-6588.
This is John Fix III of Cornell's True Value Hardware in Eastchester, New York. You've heard me talk about our family hardware store and how we've been helping our customers and neighbors take care of their homes for nearly 100 years. Well, now I'd like to tell you about our fun line of beverages. That's right, beverages. We've got four delicious flavors. Vanilla Cream Soda features a photo of our store in Tuckahoe, circa 1930. Next Generation Root Beer features artwork by Megan Fix, the fourth generation of Fix family members to join the hardware business. Big Box Orange Soda features an exciting action scene of customers scrambling to evade a forklift. And last but not least, John Jr.'s Lemonade, a thirst-quenching recipe personally endorsed by my dad. Stop in and ask him to autograph a bottle for you, and check out our cooler full of custom soda near the front of the store next time you visit. Cornell's True Value is in Eastchester between Scarsdale and Bronxville on Route 22, the White Plains Post Road. Cornell's True Value Hardware, serving Westchester homeowners since 1909 and quenching their thirst since 2003.
This program is brought to you by the Westchester County Press, founded in 1928. The County Press is today the only black-owned newspaper in the northern suburbs. Published every week, the County Press is a lively, provocative journal that speaks to the issues and concerns of African-American families of substance and means. This unique publication delivers an upscale, successful, and highly influential readership base for any suburban advertising or marketing campaign. Featuring the irreverent musings of star feature columnist Snoopy Allgood and the thoughtful pronouncements of longtime activist M. Paul Redd, the County Press is one of Westchester's most valuable assets. For advertising and subscription information, an entire year for just $25, call 914-684-0006. Or send your check for $25 to the Westchester County Press, Box 152, Elmsford, New York. The number for the publisher and Oriel Redd, the editor, is 684-0006.
Updated weather forecast for today. Across Westchester County and vicinity, look for partial sunshine. Our highs will range into the upper 70s. Northeast winds at 5 to 15. It'll be mostly cloudy tonight, though. Nighttime lows into the upper 50s. And clouds and sunshine on Friday. Friday's highs into the mid-70s. Tonight, there's a chance of some showers, overnight lows in the lower 60s. So the chance of a shower or thunder shower on Saturday, with Saturday's highs in the upper 70s. Sunday looking sunny and also fair on Monday. Labor Day Monday in the lower 80s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletier from WVOX and WVIP, the Whitney Radio Network.
1460 WVOX.
Now, back to celebrating our environment. This is Environmentally Sound with environmental activist Bob Lebensold on 1460 WVOX. Once again, here's Bob Lebensold.
Thank you, John. We are back. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460, originating in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Merced, California, Hatfield, Pennsylvania, Greenwood, or Biloxi, Mississippi, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live. We are just finishing speaking with Dr. Warren Smith of Boulder City, Nevada, the inventor of the Biffy. Dr. Smith, are you still there?
Sure, I'm Bob.
Good. We just have another minute, but I just wanted to make sure that we again repeat your information. Please tell us your website and your telephone number one more time.
Our website is biffy.com,
okay.
And the telephone number is 877-48-BIFFY, B-I-F-F-Y.
Now, I'm going to post that on my website in www.environmentallysound.com. Org soon enough, this week certainly, and that information will be available if you didn't get to write it down. Again, I recommend this product highly. If you tuned in late, you want to know more about it, again, come to my website or go to biffy.com website, even better. Doctor, thank you so much. Enjoy Boulder City and your wonderful life as a doctor and an inventor.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, good day. My next guest is Trip Van Noppen. He is the president of Earth Justice, which is a not-for-profit public interest law firm, which employs, I think, 60 lawyers. He'll have to correct me or confirm that. And they use the courts to rectify environmental damage by holding governments and private companies to the standards set by law when they fail to do so. Headquarters is in Oakland, California. There are 9 regional offices, 150 employees. Welcome, Trip Van Noppen.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here.
Good morning. Did I get that right? Is it 60?
You did. 60's right.
And I forgot who told me that, either you or one of your staff, and I didn't write it down, but it was stuck in my head, so how about that? How's the weather in Oakland this morning?
It's a beautiful morning in Oakland.
And you're at about 7:39 and 22 seconds, I guess.
That's right.
See, I just have to look at the clock and subtract 3. See, that's about the limits of my math skills. Okay, well, it's quite a beautiful summer day here as well. And now let's just talk about what Earth Justice does. First of all, you discussed not specifically pesticides and alkalis like lye and stuff in the supermarket. That's my note. But certain products you feel should be banned because they are harmful. Do I have that right?
Well, yeah, and you know, you're right to focus on pesticides, at least for part of this story. We're involved in bringing a number of lawsuits against the U.S. EPA because it has failed to take off the market some of the oldest and most toxic pesticides that harm people. They harm the workers that apply them. They harm people that live nearby, and they are also terrible for the environment. Some of them are cousins of the DDT, which has been banned for a long time. Others are...
Is atrazine in that group?
Atrazine is not in the group that we're suing over, although there's been a lot of work on atrazine a lot. The ones that we're talking about are diazinon and chlorpyrifos. They're chemicals that have been banned for inside use after many, many years, and a lot of people having health problems as a result of those chemicals. But they're still used on food crops and other outdoor uses.
Now, when I've interviewed farmers in the past, they resent the limits on atrazine, or they did at that time, because they, you know, they kind of overlook the toxic effects and the dangerous effects because it's such an effective pesticide. How do you handle attitudes like that where they just kind of put blinders on and say, I like what it does, I don't care what else it does?
Well, that's a problem, and you know, the way we do that is what we're pushing for is to have a very thorough evaluation of the various alternatives. So you've got a particularly toxic pesticide like atrazine. Well, what else will do the same job for the farmer but has less toxic effects on the environment? It doesn't last as long.
And doesn't cost as much.
Or it doesn't kill as many other beneficial plants or animals. So,
but how do you find things like that? I mean, an atomic bomb has terrible side effects, but nothing will destroy like it will. What if you have atrazine, which is the atomic bomb of pesticides? How do you answer those questions? You have to say, You'll have to settle for less or more expensive or something, and that attitude is pervasive, I think.
Well, I think people are getting more and more concerned about what's in their food and is the food safe and what's in the drinking water and is that safe, and pesticides are one factor in that. You see lots more people choosing to purchase organic foods because of concerns about what gets into the food from all the pesticide use. So the attitude that you're talking about is there, but I think actually there's an increasing attitude about let's just find cleaner ways to do these things.
Okay, so now I've often observed, and with some amount of horror, how easy it is to buy highly toxic, let's just say common household pesticides, roach sprays and ant traps and those things. If a little kid puts that in his mouth, he's probably going to die or I don't know what. And also lye, which is terribly corrosive, and you just buy all these drain cleaning products easily. You don't need a prescription. You don't have to be 18. What about those?
Right. Well, one of the things that's going on in the United States is that we have not done the job that we should have done, and even that the Congress said should be done, to evaluate what are the health effects of all kinds of chemicals that are in products, and to look for safer means of doing the same job. Now, you have to have something that will clean out your drain, or you have to have something that will take care of insects if you've got a problem, but there are more dangerous and safer ways to do things, and we have 80,000 chemicals in commerce in the United States in products that we haven't looked at what the health effects are. In Europe, they're going down a different path. They've started a process of having to evaluate whether a chemical causes problems before you allow it into the marketplace. Since we're not doing that, we're going to become the dumping ground for products that can no longer be sold in Europe because they're not safe or they're not known to be safe, but they're going to still be able to be sold in the United States. That's a problem.
Well, just like tobacco companies under pressure here, export more of that stuff.
It used to be we had the strongest standards,
yeah.
And so we were concerned about it's not right for us to export our toxic stuff.
And now it's
getting to be the reverse, where we don't have the strongest standards, and so companies are going to be sending their more toxic stuff to us.
And a lot of this is political, I imagine. I imagine that the chemical industry pays off politicians by contributing to their campaigns. Of course, this is old hat. I mean, I'm not harping on the system. I know it's corrupt. Everybody who's listening knows it's corrupt. But that's the way the system works. If the chemical industry is making big bucks, just as when the tobacco industry was making big bucks, when the chemical industry is making big bucks, they can afford to persuade politicians to vote against the common good in favor of the industrial good.
Well, and we've got we've got an EPA that doesn't have the political
under Bush,
backup to take on this problem. One of the worst examples is companies that do submit to EPA studies showing health problems that come from their chemicals can submit them in confidence, in secret, so that nobody, even medical institutions and local governments and firefighters and so forth, can't get access to them.
Excellent.
So they'll submit a report that shows, a test of a chemical and the rats in the lab died and so forth. But they'll black out the name of the chemical, so nobody knows what this is about. It doesn't do anybody any good. So that's one of the things that we're going after.
Good, good. I like that. Let's move on to the Endangered Species Act. You're quite active in that, are you not?
We do. We do work protecting wildlife all over the country.
And not just the country. Well, I guess polar bears are probably in
Alaska,
but elsewhere as well in the Arctic.
That's right.
Right. So you're working with wolves, polar bears, whales, grizzly bears. And wolves are under increasing pressure, and we just lost a big vote up in referendum, I guess, up in Alaska, and now they're allowed to shoot wolves from the air again. What progress has been made? Are we set back as far as protecting wildlife? And the last question, which I have to ask, is why do we need wolves anyway? Why protect wolves? Why not just wipe them out?
Well, wolves in where we do a lot of work on wolves is in the Northern Rockies, so Montana, Idaho, Wyoming. There's been a big effort by the government and conservation groups to reintroduce wolves in the Yellowstone National Park and other wild areas in the Northern Rockies at where they had been become practically extinct because of hunting and even the government having bounties to kill the wolves. Between 10 and 15 years ago, the wolves were reintroduced. Some were brought down from Canada and acclimated to the Northern Rockies and released. And the idea was they would reestablish a population that was viable, that would live and sustain itself, have enough members to sustain itself. And that has succeeded. Wolves are doing well. And now there's a big push by the federal government and those state governments to cut back to what they consider to be the bare minimum, which is 100 wolves in each state. And all the biologists we talk to, and we've talked to hundreds of wolf biologists and have many of their statements and reports, they say that's not the way you have a wolf population that will survive. You can't go down that low. There needs to be more than that in a huge area like the Northern Rockies.
Now, is the objection to wolves running wild that they will kill game animals that hunters want to take? Is that the objection, or is it just something about the wolf that angers us or that irritates us? And mind you, all dogs are wolves, and we love our dogs. So how do you reconcile that? Yeah.
One is the game that you mentioned. That's particularly about elk in those northern Rocky states. Elk hunting is a big deal for people there and people who travel there to do it. And so some people claim that having wolves means less elk. Well, again, the biologists that we talk to that we think have the right science on their side point out that what the wolves do is actually improve the strength of the elk herd. There's plenty of elk still to hunt, but the wolves cull out the sick and the weak and the old, and they leave the strong and healthy elk there. So that's good for the elk herd, and it's good for the environment, because there was actually beginning to be a problem of overpopulation of elk, as you've seen in the Northeast with overpopulation of deer.
Right.
When you don't have a predator, you get overpopulation, and that causes its own set of problems.
Sure.
So the other thing is ranchers are concerned, because in some instances, wolves will attack livestock, calves or sheep. There's a system set up to sort of take care of that, and any wolf that is known to have attacked any livestock will be eliminated. Then the third is the thing that you mentioned also, which is just the age-old image of or fear of the wolf. A lot of people love wolves and want them in the environment and understand the role of a predator. But a lot of people also have kind of an ancient fear or hatred of the wolf it's really hard to explain. Wolves aren't attacking people.
Well, they attack Little Red Riding Hood, right?
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
That's
a big bad wolf.
But Milady's poodle and Chihuahua, they're wolves.
Yeah, they're a long way from wolves, but they are wolves. But
they can breed with wolves.
They can breed with wolves.
Basically the same species, just a subspecies, and only actually not even a subspecies, a breed, of wolf.
Yeah. We're involved in a lawsuit against the federal government, which is trying to take the wolves off the endangered species list, claiming that recovery is complete and a success. And we're saying, not yet. The states, if you take them off, then the states are going to allow hunting all the way down to only 100 wolves per state. That's not enough of a population.
Let me ask you a question, Chip.
Yep.
I dearly wish that we had never extincted any animals, but we have. Now, if somebody comes up to me and says, why did we need dodos? The dodo is the most, it's the poster child for extinct species. Everybody knows about the dodo, just kind of a big doofy bird that was easy to kill, and so we killed them.
Yep.
Would we be better off today if there were dodos?
Well, we would, and there are scientific and biological reasons for that, and there are basically ethical reasons for that. The scientific reasons are there are species out there that have in them some cure to some disease. They have some use for people, some use for the planet that we don't know about yet. And every time we lose one, we lose that opportunity. You know, we have every day medical sciences finding a new valuable property in some plant or some
sure.
part of an animal.
Absolutely.
And you just absolutely squander that future every time a species goes extinct. The sort of more moral or ethical reason is all species have evolved and living on Earth. They continue to evolve and change, and there's no way to know what they will become. And they have rights to exist, and we don't have the right to exterminate them. Basically, you know, the dodo was causing us no harm. That we've eliminated the passenger pigeons that used to fly by the billions in the skies in the eastern United States.
Yeah.
We've practically eliminated the wolves. We've practically eliminated the bison. Some of these things are now coming back, but they have their own great beauty and their great role in the ecosystem, whether they're humble or they're magnificent.
You and I understand that and believe that, and we feel the loss of the species that have gone extinct. But there are many people who don't. It does not help us. Now, let's go to another animal that is in deep trouble and might be a little bit more important to us economically. The honeybees.
Okay.
We have something called colony collapse disorder.
Yes.
I presume you're familiar with that. What do we care about a bunch of insects? And pretty soon we'll have people saying, waving signs to save the bacteria. Why do we want to save these guys?
Well, the honeybees are a great example because they play one of the most absolutely critical roles to both the environment and to our economy. Every fruit that we eat, every orange and apple has been pollinated by something, and mostly by honeybees. And the pollination used to take place but naturally. The hives were distributed naturally. Then people domesticated honeybees, began to become beekeepers and raise them and use them commercially and put the beehives on the back of flatbed trucks and take them from orchard to orchard to let the pollination happen.
And they still do that.
They still do that. And if we don't pollinate, we don't have fruit to eat. So and we don't have plants reproducing, and so honeybee collapse, which is happening for reasons that aren't yet fully understood, is a really important problem environmentally and economically. And I think it does call on us to be a lot more thoughtful about how do we what is causing it. A lot more research needed, and then what can we do to stop it?
Okay, now let's get to. A little bit political here. I know that you're a 501c corporation. You can't take sides or anything. But John McCain says that he is an environmentalist. I think he had the McCain-Feingold Act or something that was an environmental act. The League of Conservation Voters, I think.
That's right.
Has him rated. Where do they have him rated?
Well, they do the rating of all the members of Congress based on a whole series of environmental votes, and he has a career rating of 24% out of a possible 100, so that's a very low rating.
Okay, now he's been around a long time.
He has.
But Obama has not. So is it fair to compare Obama's rating with him? What is it, first of all, and is it really fair to compare? It's like ERAs among pitchers. If you pitch 10 innings, or if you pitch 100 innings, it's not quite fair. What about that? What is Obama?
First of all, his rating is very high. It's in the 90s. I don't know exactly the number, but it's high. And I think it is absolutely fair. These ratings are based on many, many votes per year. The Congress faces votes on a regular basis that are important to the environment. And so it's not just pulling one or two votes out of the air. McCain has been active on trying to get the country to work on climate change. You mentioned the bill. It is actually a McCain-Lieberman bill.
I'm sorry, McCain-Lieberman.
He's worked on that. It's not a bill that was passed, but it was an early effort to get the Congress to act on climate change, and he deserves credit for that. On the other hand, though, on most environmental issues, like involving all these toxics that we're talking about, or on tax credits for renewable energy, which we just desperately need, he's voted against those things, which is why he's got the low score that he does. He's actually, you know, perhaps gotten, a lot of extra credit for having been a leader in the party that he's in, which has not been a leader on the environment in recent years. But you know, but that doesn't really, the fact that he was working on climate change doesn't really carry over into the rest of environmental issues.
All right, Tripp, we're running short of time. I know that Earth Justice, that we're speaking with Tripp Van Noppen, who is the president of Earth Justice, an Oakland-based nonprofit organization. You have lots of successes, and you have about a minute and a half to just give us an idea. I know you've worked in the Everglades, the Appalachian, all over the country, and even in our area, your agent, Kerry Powell, has done a lot of work. Can you just give us kind of a, I guess, 45-second summary of what you'd like to say?
Yeah, well, you know, our tagline is that we exist because the Earth needs a good lawyer. So we are the premier litigators for the environment in the United States, and we have an international program as well. We have an office there in New York that's working on many issues involving energy and climate and on toxic exposures.
And anybody who wants more can go to www.earthjustice.org?
It is, earthjustice.org.
Please go there and visit that, and I'm sorry we've run out of time,
all
Tripp,
right.
But thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. I'd like to thank Dr. Warren Smith and Tripp Van Noppen for joining us on Environmentally Sound today. I must repeat that I just love my Biffy. I highly recommend it. That's a personal testimonial, not a paid ad. A great environmentally sound product. Tripp Van Noppen, with whom we just spoke, is one of those highly skilled and knowledgeable people who have our backs when we are too busy or too confused to look out for ourselves. It is perhaps more critical now than it ever has been to look out for our environment. I will not tick off the litany of problems. You know them. And I won't say the Democrats or the Republicans are responsible or our saviors. Both parties are short-sighted and benighted. Neither are your friends. They are pursuing their personal little goals and leaving you out to dry. Men and women like Tripp Van Noppen are at least addressing the trends which threaten to destroy us oil. All. Our thought for the week, ideals are like the stars. We never reach them, but like the mariners of the sea, we chart our course by them. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio. Next up is Howard Sturman, friend, diplomat, world traveler. If he wore a beaver, he would be Howard Furman. See you next on 9/11. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.